I'm speaking to you today on the subject, the touch of faith. And I'm reading a passage of Scripture from the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and follow along with me, if you will. I'll be referring back to this passage of Scripture again and again in speaking on the touch of faith. In Mark chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, our Lord said, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Now this is not a parable. This is a true story. The Savior said, "A certain woman." In his word, he calls her a certain woman. In other words, this actually happened. This is a true story. This certain woman had been ill for 12 years. She had an issue of blood hemorrhaging all of these years. And she had spent all that she had, all of her money, all of her savings, on false physicians, on home remedies, on quack healers. And the word says she wasn't any better, but she was worse. And she heard reports of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he had healed many, given sight to the blind, and caused the lame to walk, and yea, even raised the dead. And so she said in her heart, "If I can but get to him and touch his clothes, I shall be healed." So she came through the crowd behind the Lord, reached out her trembling hand, and touched his clothes. And the Scripture says, immediately she was made whole. She was healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the word in your King James Bible is virtue, which is power, the Lord Jesus, knowing that power had gone out from him through the touch of a needy sinner, through the touch of one who believed, he said, "Who touched me?" And this confused the disciples. They said, "Why, Lord, the people press against you and push you, all of this huge crowd of people, and you ask, who touched me?" And the Master said, "Someone touched me. Someone touched me." And he began to look around, and he looked at this woman. And the Scripture says the woman, knowing that something had taken place within her, that she had been healed, knowing what was done in her, she fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, if you're only interested in the healing of the body, if you're only interested in miracles involving the flesh, then you won't be interested in what I'll have to say about this story about this certain woman. And you can just take your place with Nicodemus, who was amazed by miracles, but who did not know the Lord. For Nicodemus said, "Master, we know that your teacher come from God. No man could do the miracles which you do except God be with him." If you're only interested in miracles, only interested in the healing of the body, then you can stand aside with that group in John chapter 2 who believed on him because of the miracles which he did. But the Scripture said he did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Or you can stand aside with Simon Magus, who saw the disciples lay their hands on other believers, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spake in other languages. But if you're interested in the greater glory of Christ, if you're interested in what our Lord is teaching here about salvation, redemption, and justification, for there's something greater here than the healing of a body. Because this woman later got sick and died. It's appointed unto men once to die. All men are going to die. And this woman, even though the Lord healed her, later got sick and died. But she had something greater performed. And our Lord is revealing to us something greater, his greater glory. And that's not the healing of the body, it's the healing of the soul. And this is a picture here of how Christ saves sinners. There's a picture here of how Christ gives living water. He said, if you drink thereof, you'll never thirst again. This giving the woman healing of the body is a picture of how Christ heals the soul and gives us a life that shall never die. And this is the greater glory of our Lord, to give life to dead sinners. Now let's take the story and go from the beginning all the way to the end, and let me show you how God deals in mercy with needy sinners. First of all, this woman, if you look at verse 25, it tells us this woman had been sick a long time. She had had this issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to be sick. But you and I have had the disease of sin a lot longer than 12 years. Our disease of sin dates back to Adam's fall. Before we got liberal and modern in our theology, it was called original sin. If you read the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, you'll find the Word of God saying this, in Adam all died. By one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for all sin. And that 18th and 19th verse of Romans 5 tells us, by one man's disobedience, judgment came upon all. Condemnation came upon all. And by the disobedience of one, the many were made sinners. So this disease of sin with which we are afflicted dates back to Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden. That's when it all started. That's when darkness and death and disease and departure from God came upon mankind. That's when we lost the way to God. That's when we lost the truth. That's when we lost our lives in the Garden of Eden when Adam fell. Adam represented the whole human race. He was our federal head. When he stood, we stood. When he fell, we fell. And when Adam sinned against God, this disease of sin, this nature of sin, this body of sin, this death by sin came upon all flesh. Our disease of sin dates back to Adam's fall. Now, this woman had been sick a long time. 12 years is a long time. But we've been sick longer than that. Our disease of sin dates back to our birth. David writes about that in Psalms 51, verse 5. He said, in sin my mother conceived me. I was shapen in iniquity. I was conceived in sin. I was brought forth speaking lies. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Read Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. This woman somehow picked up this infection, this disease, and it was with her for 12 years. If you want to know where we got this heart of evil, if you want to know where we got this nature of sin, if you want to know where we got this body of rebellion and this body of death, we got it from Adam. It came from our father Adam. It was imputed unto us by his fall. It was imparted unto us by our birth. We were born in sin. And we've had it a long time, dead in trespasses and sin. And this disease not only affects our blood. This woman had a blood disease. She had a blood disorder. But this disease of sin affects every faculty of our being. Isaiah said it affects us from the sole of our feet to the top of our heads. Our hearts are affected by this fall. The heart is deceitful. Jeremiah says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And our minds have been affected by this disease of sin. The natural mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Our affections without natural affections. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Our thoughts. The scripture says God looked down from heaven back in Genesis chapter 6 and he says, every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is evil continually. Every imagination. Every thought. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Our throats, Paul said, are open graves, open sepulchres. Our tongues, James said, are set on fire with hell. Our mouths, Paul said, are full of cursing and bitterness. Our feet are swift in running to mischief. This woman had a disease, and she had had it a long time. But you and I also have the disease of sin, and we've had it a long time. We've had it since Adam fell. It is ours through his fall, and it is ours through our birth. We were born in sin. We were conceived in sin. We were brought forth with an evil heart and an evil nature and an evil mind and evil affections and a fallen will. As Isaiah said, your whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of your feet to the top of your heads, you have nothing but open, running sores that have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know that's not popular. And I know that most men don't like to hear it. But it's the truth of God's word. God looked down from heaven, Psalm 14, verse 1 through 3 says, to see if there were any that did do good. He found they're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. In the flesh, no man can please God. So we've had this disease of sin for a long, long time. Just like this woman, we've been sick a long time. Now notice the second thing. Look at verse 26. She had suffered many things of many physicians. This is sad. This is so sad. It says she suffered at the hands of many physicians. She had tried all their remedies. If you go back 200 or 300 years and read some of the so-called remedies, think what they were like 2,000 years ago. This woman had tried everything they told her to try. She had taken their terrible tasting medicine. She had gone through their bleedings and through their blisterings and through all of their quack remedies, and she spent all of her money, everything she had. She'd tried this physician and that one and the other, and she'd spent everything that she had. She was not only sick, but now she was completely broke, and she was not one bit better, but she was worse. You know what I see here? I see a picture of what's happening today. Men and women are sick in sin. They have the disease of sin, and they're being deceived, and they're being butchered, and they're being robbed by false prophets and false preachers today who offer all of these different remedies for salvation, all of these different cures for the curse of sin, all of these different remedies for redemption, and the people are no better. They're not saved, they're not justified, they don't know God, and they're being robbed of all that they have, and instead of getting better, their condition is worse. Now, why couldn't these physicians help this dear woman? Here she was, she had the disease, and she went to all of these different physicians, and none of them could help her. None of them could help her. She spent everything she had for 12 years. She had tried to find a cure. And instead of being better after spending everything that she had, she was only worse. Now, why couldn't they help her? You know the first reason? Is because they didn't understand her disease. They didn't understand her disease at all. Her disease was an inward affection that they knew nothing about. Her disease was an inward failure that they knew nothing about. And they prescribed for her outward remedies for an inward disease. Now, if our disease of sin is only a matter of our outward acts, which are wrong, granted, our outward acts are sinful, our outward acts are wrong, our outward thoughts or our outward words are wrong. If that's all that's wrong with us, perhaps moral reformation could help us. Perhaps someone comes and says, quit this and quit that and quit the other and do better and serve God. Then that could help us. But our disease, like this woman, goes deeper than outward acts. If our problem, our disease of sin, is only a matter of outward dirt and outward filth, perhaps the waters of baptism could wash us and make us whole. If our disease of sin is only a matter of outward rebellion, perhaps good works and the law could help us. But the disease of sin is of the heart. The disease of sin is of the nature. The fountain is polluted. We need a new birth. We need a new heart. We need a new nature. And this only God can give. And so many preachers and religious teachers and leaders today cannot help people because, first of all, they don't understand what's wrong with them. It's not just my outward acts that need adjustment. It's not just my outward conduct that needs to be changed. My heart needs to be changed. I need a new birth. I need a new nature. I need a new heart. I need something done within. The fountain needs to be changed. The root needs to be dug up and a new one planted. And all of these remedies that they prescribed for this dear woman didn't touch her disease. They only touched her outward flesh. They only touched her tongue or her outward body. All of the balms that they had her rub on and all of the different remedies did not touch her inward infection. It only made her miserable. It only gave her false hope. Drops of water on my head will not change my heart. Counting beads and mumbling prayers will not give me a new nature. It'll only give me a false refuge. Shaking a preacher's hand will not put away my guilt. I need a divine operation. I need something within, something in my heart, something only the Spirit of the living God can perform in the power and in the merit of Jesus Christ, my Redeemer. So this woman had suffered many things of many physicians, just like the public today is suffering under false remedies and false recipes and false plans of salvation that do not reach the heart. And the reason these efforts are exerted and put forth is because the so-called physician of souls do not understand the disease. And if you don't understand the disease, you can't know the remedy. Now, the third thing, verse 27. When she heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, she came to him. Now, here was a woman who was sick a long time. She had suffered many things of many physicians. She spent everything she had. She was no better when she heard of Christ. This was the most blessed day of her life when she heard about Christ. Someone told her about the Master. Someone told her about the compassion of Christ. Someone told her about the power of Christ. Someone told her about the willingness of Christ to make men whole. Someone told her about Christ Jesus, the Savior, and His power to heal. And that was the most blessed day of her entire life when she heard of Christ. And let me tell you something. The most blessed day of your life will be the day when you hear of Him who came from glory to give life to dead sinners. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came to Bethlehem's manger to take our nature. He took on Himself the form of sinful flesh. He came from heaven's glory to Bethlehem's manger to take on Himself human flesh. He came to Gethsemane's garden to take our sins. Yes, He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He was actually numbered with the transgressors. He who had no disease of sin, who was not identified with Adam in his fall, but was identified with Adam's race in redemption, He actually took our sins. He went to Calvary's cross and took our place under the wrath of God, under the judgment of God, under the penalty of the broken law. He took our place, and He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our guilt was pressed upon Him. By His stripes we're healed. And then He came to glory. And at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, He takes our case and pleads our cause and intercedes for those who believe. She heard about this Christ. The most blessed day of her life was that day when someone told her about the Redeemer, the great physician, the one who is able to heal all manner of diseases, the one who is able to make you whole. She heard of Christ. I want you to look at her humility. It says, when she heard. When she heard. That's what first must take place. You've got to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. hearing by the word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that heareth my word, his soul shall live. But you got to hear. You got to hear. And then it says, I want you to look at her humility. She came in the crowd behind him. Now, she was an unclean woman, according to the law. According to the law of Moses, she was unclean. And she was aware of her uncleanness. She was aware of his holiness. She viewed Christ as holy and herself as unholy. She viewed Christ Jesus as powerful, herself as weak. She viewed Christ Jesus as pure, herself as impure. And she wouldn't face him. She wouldn't come around in the pride and arrogance and haughtiness that we observe today in sinners who feel that they'll let God save them. They'll patronize the Son of God. The church ought to be glad to have them, you know. They're somebody, and God ought to be glad to have them, and Christ ought to be glad to have them. But this woman slipped up behind him in her uncleanness and in her humility and in her unworthiness. And she slipped up behind him. Listen to her faith. For she said, if I can but touch his clothes. She's not talking about what she could do. She's talking about what he could do for her. If I can but touch his clothes. Not what I do, but what he is able to do. Here's the key. Here's the key. You come to him. You reach out and touch the Lord. The power doesn't flow from you to Christ. The power flows from Christ to you. If you can get to Christ, it flows not from you, not from the church, not from the preacher, from him. If I can but touch his clothes. Here this woman heard of Christ and his power to heal, his power to save, his power to redeem. And she came in humility and contrition with a broken heart. Wish we could get a hold of a little bit of this. I wish we could understand what it all means. I wish we could see the humility of the broken sinner at the feet of his Lord. The Lord said he's nigh unto them of a broken heart. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And she reached out in humility. But her faith was in what he could do for her if she could get in contact with him. And she reached out and touched him. You ever heard that old song, I'll Go to Jesus? Though my sin hath like a mountain rose, I know his courts I'll enter in, whatever may oppose. Prostrate I lie before his throne, and there my sin confess. I'll tell him I'm a wretch undone without his sovereign grace. I can but perish if I go, I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I shall forever die. When this woman touched the Lord, immediately she was made whole. She came in contact. She came in a living, vital union with the Son of God, and she was made whole. She came empty-handed. She had nothing to bring. She had spent all she had. She had nothing to give. She had nothing to exchange. She had nothing to offer. She's like Augustus Toplady, who said, in my hands no price I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. Now I want you to notice this. Here was a woman sick for so long. And no one could help her, as no one can help you. No human being, no human organization, no human power, no human laws, no human standards, no human recipes, no human plans. But she heard of Christ. And she said, if I can get to him, if I can touch his clothes, if I can make some contact with him, I'll be made whole. And that's exactly what she did. She came in a broken, contrite fashion and reached out and touched him. And she was made whole. And now it's confession time. The Lord turned and he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, all these people have touched you and brushed against you. And here you say, who touched me? He said, I perceive that power is gone out of me. Somebody touched me. Someone touched me. Now the work was done. The power had gone out of Christ to the woman. She was made whole. She knew it. It says distinctly, now listen, knowing what was done in her. Knowing what was done. Now we get this backwards. We call for a confession first. before the work of regeneration, before the work of redemption, before the work of the new birth. The woman, now watch this, this woman heard the gospel of Christ. She heard about Christ. This woman knew her problem. She knew her need. She knew nobody else could meet that need. She came to Christ. And she said in her heart, this is where faith is born, in the heart. Faith is a heart work. Faith is not a walking an aisle or shaking a hand or doing a lot of talking. Faith is a heart work. And she said in her heart, if I can but touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. And that's exactly what she did. It was between her and the Lord. There was nobody between her and Christ. There was no soul winner there, a preacher there, a fast-talking evangelist there. It was between the sinner and the Savior. It was between the needy, guilty, unclean sinner and the Redeemer of sinners. And she touched him. And she was made whole. Power went out of him into her. And she was made whole. She was healed. And then Christ called on her to confess it. You don't have anything to confess till it's done. You can't tell on the outside what's been done on the inside till what's been done on the inside has been done, till Christ has done the work. And he said, who touched me? Who touched me? Now, plenty of people were touching him. Plenty of people were pushing against him. Plenty of people were pressing around him. But this woman, now watch the difference. She had a need. And not only did she have a need, but she had faith. And not only did she have faith, but she touched him. She reached out. Why don't you reach out and touch the Lord while he passes by? Passing by in his word, in his gospel, in his message, reach out and touch him. And then he called for her to confess him. And she came and fell at his feet in humility. And she told everybody what he had done for her. And then he gave her double assurance. He turned to her and said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thou art free from the plague. She confessed him. Now, this message is on cassette tape. If you'd like to have this message and the one that will be preached next week, write to me. The cost is $3. We'll be happy to send it to you. The Touch of Faith. Until next week, Henry Mahan, bidding you a very pleasant good day.